Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. Today, we're diving into a powerful idea from history and nature, osmosis. Small gradual changes can infiltrate and transform our beliefs, just like how dirty water can sneak into and contaminate a clean freshwater supply. We'll check out some eye-opening findings from George Barna and his research team that show a surprising decline in how unified American Christians are in their biblical worldview. Stick around as we explore what these changes mean and talk about how we can protect against this slow drift away from our core beliefs. So, Judge, I'd like to ask you a question to sort of kick this conversation off. So earlier we mentioned the word osmosis, which is something that you recently wrote about. It's an example of how just a few drops of water can contaminate an entire body of water. So share with us a little bit about this concept of osmosis and how this impacts and is infiltrating the biblical worldview of the Christian church.
When we go back to nature, the whole concept of osmosis is that something moves from a point of high concentration to a point of lower concentration. Mm-hmm. And so as you look at that, you can have a small amount of a very highly concentrated liquid infiltrating a larger amount of liquid, but yet at the same time poisoning or tainting that water system, if you want to use that as an example. It's really replicated all through history. Mm-hmm. in a societal format. One of the examples that I used when I was writing the article was in the Battle of the Bulge, where the German, I think it was SS troops, would dress up as Americans and would man checkpoint units. And so when Americans would come to these checkpoint units, they did not know whether they were talking to German soldiers or to their own American brothers in that case. And so they developed special techniques to identify, mm-hmm. to help them identify that, those imposters, those who would infiltrate into the American ranks. It at a very minimum caused a lot of confusion amongst our soldiers in World War II. That confusion led to a lot of times them being injured or even killed if they were captured by the Germans. And so this concept of enemies infiltrating into a pure system and contaminating that even goes back to Jesus's parables where he talked about the wheat and the tare, mm-hmm. growing together. So you've got tares that are polluting the wheat fields. And we've allowed that to happen in our American culture, particularly in our churches and within our families, where we have accepted individuals, this inclusiveness, this concept of diversity that has crept in. And so what we do is, with our theology, we allow this tainted theology to come in. For instance, just a very practical, where we talk about accepting other people, and we talked about Jesus accepting other people. And that's true, but Jesus accepted us not because of the way we were, but in despite of the way we are.
Right. Well, his message was repent. His message was to repent, which means to turn away and not do that. It's not about acceptance of the behavior that people want to do because that's what they desire to do. It's really about purity, if you will,
Absolutely.
Of the biblical truth. I think the Bible is full of stories of people who have gone just a little bit. They've done a little bit in the way of the Lord. Just look at the book of Kings, Kings 1 and 2, sure. where many of the leaders, some of them followed the Lord and were right in the eyes of the Lord, but yet they still allowed the high places of worship. They did not worship the way God recommended.
It was the purity that they sacrificed for the sake of compromise, for the sake of getting along, for mm-hmm. the sake of popularity, potentially.
Well, look at what's happening in our world today. We compromise on those values that actually allow our country, our nation to thrive. If you look at what Alexis de Tocqueville said about America, America is good because America has religion. It has, right. Christianity. It has the concept of morality. And we really lost that. It's just like tearing down all of our historical images, all of the things that we have done to celebrate our history. It's not a perfect history, but we've torn down the things of our history to try to change what the reality is, to create a narrative that actually fits to allow us to live in a sinful behavior and in a sinful way that actually breeds confusion and contaminates what is actually holy, good, and pure.
And I don't disagree with that at all. But if you even go back to the example of Jesus accepting us despite the way we are, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit that makes us more like Jesus as opposed to leaving us the way we are in our sinfulness and in reality, our rebellion against God. And in a lot of circumstances, we have really put our rebellion under the skirts of our religion. And Patrick Morley says it more succinctly when he says we worship the God we want rather than the God who is. And that's a dangerous situation for the American church to be in.
Well, that really brings us to the topic that you talked about in the article that you recently wrote regarding osmosis and just really sort of how a little bit of yeast contaminates the whole bowl. And when you look at the Barna research and you talk about the fact that people don't actually know who their God is or what they worship. So I just want to read some of the research that came up in this recent Barna book. So Barna wrote the book, Think Like Jesus. It was published in 2004. So this, mind you, this was 20 years ago. So just listen to this data, and we know it's worse today. In reporting of this, overall, what he stated was that approximately 25% of the adult population firmly believes a Messiah has been promised and will make his initial visit to Earth to save his people. Yet, they also say that nobody knows for certain whether a higher power or God exists. That's an oxymoron. I don't see how that can actually be possible.
Schizophrenic.
That's confusion. And we all know who the author of confusion is. Okay. The research also discovered that millions of Americans accept worldview perspectives from several additional yet contradictory life philosophies, such as Marxism, nihilism, Islam. You can think of Buddhism, Hinduism, accepting all of these
secularism.
Ways, right, the ways to God. It's not just the one true God.
Well, it comes out in really confusion and almost stupidity. I saw a picture the other day of one of our university professors who had a coexist bumper sticker on the back of his car. And on the other side of his bumper, it was from the river to the sea. So, I mean, he's coexisting in one place and eradicating Jews in the other place. So he doesn't really believe. He believes one or the other. He can't believe both at the same time.
Well, I also think that I call it the bumper sticker mentality, where people actually get along with a narrative, go along with the topical points of a narrative because everybody's talking about it. It's the thing to do without actually diving deep into the facts in the reality around why someone would say that. So in today's day, when you read something or you see something in the newspaper or the media, I automatically think the reverse of what's being said. To me, that's a way, okay, if somebody's saying this, what's the reverse of that? What's the opposite side of that story? So that I can really understand perhaps where that narrative is coming from and also dig deeper to know what the truth of that matter is.
Well, at Southern Evangelical Seminary, one of the cornerstones of what we teach here is pure logic. And the second law of logic says that total opposites cannot both be right at the same time and under the same circumstances. And so when you see a bumper sticker where it says Hamas or queers for Hamas, it's incongruous.
That's an oxymoron.
It's stupidity. I mean, I've seen the other meme where it says it's just like putting up a sign, chickens for KFC. I mean, it doesn't make sense because we all know what would happen to these poor, misguided individuals if they were in the middle of an Hamas-controlled area within a very short period of time. you going back to the Barner study, the Think Like Jesus in 2004 really had a startling statistic, and is one of the things that actually drove me back to studying here at SES originally. But at that time, he found in 2004 that less than 15% of the people sitting in a pew in an evangelical church on any given Sunday morning actually knew what they believed or why they believed it.
Hmm.
And so now the latest, he in the last 4 or 5 years, I think he started in 2020, really bringing out a State of Christianity every year, a study of, based on his, and by the way, I would certainly highly recommend to our listening audience that George Barna does some great work and really has perhaps the best insight into what's going on in Christianity's mind right now, the church's mind in America. And I use that, there are two definitions of the church. One is the church universal. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the church in America, the traditional church in America. And really, you look at denominational, what's happening within individual denominations, and you can see this lack of a biblical worldview. And so this last findings that came out probably in March of this year, he found now that it's only 6% of Christians.
So
we've dropped well over almost 60% or 70% in 20 years.
So let's examine that a little bit. So as a former judge, as someone who is the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, and as someone who's speaking out about truth in our world today, and the truth being the response to what's actually happening, how would you say that the church may have failed the evangelical mind in today's day?
Well, by allowing this inclusion of false teachings,
mm-hmm.
of teachings that are contrary or at least water down the truth of the gospel message, the church has come to the place where it's really totally ineffective. In fact, I would say to you that it's an abject failure as we talk about the American church. We have been responsible because we have failed as people of God to portray the message of the gospel and the message of Christ and the logical application of that message to our nation, then we've allowed this slippage of an intrusion of just wrong thinking into our culture. And the price is high. The old adage that we have sown the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind, mm-hmm. now. And if you look at all of the instances of our young people on college campuses who are now protesting and who just don't have any clue about what's going on. If you, I've seen some other videos of folks going on and asking, what does it mean from the river to the sea? What river and what sea? And these young people don't have a clue. They, mm-hmm. they're just going on based on some chant or whatever that some other person has given to them without thinking. And so our young people don't know how to think because they've not been educated properly. Our church people don't know what to think and how to think because even in the pulpits of our nation, in Christian churches, less than 50% of our pastors have a biblical worldview. So how are our people going to learn if their leaders are lost?
Well, I also think that when you take a look at Romans 1, you look at Romans 1, we're a Romans 1 world right now, especially if we're talking just about America, and we're talking specifically about America because that's the nation that we live in, and that's the nation that, you know, we were born in, and what happens with our leadership really does impact what takes place, you know, in the average American family. And so when you take a look at that, the whole concept, as we started out, when you talk about osmosis and just how a little bit just infiltrates and ruins the whole lot, it's impacted every institutional aspect of America, the education system. When you think about it from kindergarten to even college, if you look at our government, the corruption taking place in our government, if you look at the justice system, and as a former judge, you take a look at what's happening in our justice system, it doesn't appear to be fair anymore for people. If you take a look at taxation. I mean, I don't mind giving Caesar what is Caesar's, but if 10% is good enough for God, I don't know what they're doing right now when you take a look at taxation. Just take a look at all of the institutions, all of the systems that have been set up to make this nation thrive. And then you take a look at what people are actually thinking, saying, espousing. That little osmosis that you talk about, that little infiltration, has gone such a long way. I fear for the next generation. I fear for the debt we're leaving them. I fear for the decisions that we've made as a nation. And I know our listening audience must feel the same way. As you take a look at what's happening around us, how do we combat this? What is the call to action for our listening audience, for the people?
I'm going to answer that question with a story from my childhood. You know, back in the day, we had wells. We didn't have city water where I grew up, and they were just holes in the ground. They weren't capped the way wells are now. And so we had an animal that got into our well and died in the well water. And so we had to have somebody go down there and remove the animal. And then they poured Clorox into the well supply to disinfect it. And we had to wait a certain amount of time before mm-hmm. we could do that. Let me say to you that we're going to have to eradicate some of this thought that's in our churches today. And ultimately, we're told in scriptures that it is the word of God that mm-hmm. cleanses us.
And take every thought captive.
And take every thought captive. And we've got to get a biblical worldview back into our churches and into the hearts of our people. There's an old adage in the law that if the law does not exist in the hearts of the people, then it doesn't exist at all for practical purposes. And that's true with our faith. If truth does not exist in the heart of the people in the pews in the church, and particularly in those who are in the pulpit in the church, then we're not going to be successful in our call to go forth and disciple the nations. And so we're going to have to go through a painful process in the church. And yes, it may mean that churches will lose members, and it may mean that there will be prosecution and persecution of the church in our nation. But that's a small price to pay. I will say this to you. Those folks around the world who are being martyred for the name of Christ or in the name of Christ, they don't have these questions in their minds as they are being tortured and slain. They don't have this divisiveness of thought that we have in the American church. And the early martyrs, Paul, Peter, you go down the list. They didn't have these questions about, is God really real in their minds? They knew what they were dying for, and they had enough faith and they had enough courage to do that if necessary.
Well, I think that there are some certain steps that people can take. I think first and foremost, to try to find a church that is actually preaching biblical truth. Absolutely. Is essential. And if not, soon Truth That Matters will be providing content for people so that they actually have a place to go to learn and to understand, so that they too can stand in the obedience of faith and stand firm. You know, the Bible tells us we don't go to war with weapons. The weapons of our warfare truly are, peace and joy and putting on the armor of God, which is Ephesians 6. And so for those who don't know, take a look at Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God, and we learn to stand in the days ahead, because we are going to need to learn to stand in the days ahead. So sage advice.
Well, I would say to you to focus on the idea in Ephesians 6 that it calls us to stand. It doesn't call us to attack. The devil's already attacking us.
Yes.
Ephesians 6 tells us to stand in the whole armor of God.
Amen.
And so I would also call on people to not only be concerned about the churches that they're going to. I'm calling on parents, particularly fathers, to stand up and be the priest in their family.
Amen.
And that's where we get to as we go forward. You know, at Southern Evangelical Seminary, our hearts are heavy. They're heavy for the pain of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are, in fact, right now being tortured in the Middle mm-hmm. East and in Africa and communist China, other areas all across the globe. But you know, our hearts are also heavy because we can see the storm brewing over our own beloved nation. Mm. We can already smell the stench of persecution that is coming to Christ's followers, and which, in fact, has already reached our shorelines. The time is near in this country when there will be a cost for proclaiming Christ as Lord, and there will be a separation of the counterfeit from the real.
Amen.
And it is only by the word of God by which we as individuals or as Christ Church can be cleansed from the stain of deceitfulness and sin that we are in that right now. So that's why we've developed a plan here at SES for a counter-revolution of biblically based faith and morality. We're calling it Truth That Matters, and it is our prayer that it will become a blueprint for the resurrection of Christ's church in our nation and a revival of true faith in our families and individuals all across America. By the power of His Spirit, we will be standing in the gap in the sincere hope that God will yet spare our nation, and that destruction will not be our lot until such time as our hearts can turn toward the only truth that matters, the gospel of Jesus Christ. God knows how desperately the American church needs to arise from the dead and allow Christ's new day to dawn in our midst. That as true Christians, as we still have breath, there is hope for our nation. But to be sure, our time is short, and we must now redeem the time that is still left.
Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.